How's that? Is that better? Okay, thank you. Always a pleasure to be able to share the Word of God with you. And in our church where I go to, I preached a series of messages on the one another's in Scripture. And I have found 25 of them. Don't worry, I won't condense them all into one message this morning. You'd be here for a while. And although I could, I got all my notes here. But I just want to look at one of them this morning. And really what could be almost the most important one for us to look at. And did a series on the one another. It's applicable not only for church setting, of how to get along, but also home setting, family setting, and I suppose even our work settings of how to live in relationships. We're all in relationships, right? In some fashion or another. None of us lives by ourselves, well, all alone, I hope not. We have friends, we have family, we have relatives, we have neighbors. And the result of practicing, I found, when I went through these, will be a peace and harmony and power in the church, because they're addressed to believers living in family or living in unity together. And the result of failing to practice them would be disunity and fighting, lack of peace, pecking at each other. We got chickens again last year. And just, if you have chickens, you understand the whole pecking order of these terrible roosters. I got rid of my roosters. They were nasty. They would just peck on those ladies and till they're bare and have big patches where there's no feathers at all. And they made the whole flock nasty. And so we got rid of them. And it has changed and the flock. But putting them into practice will produce a warm, caring, joyful, encouraging, accountable, connected, loving environment. And I say putting them into practice will produce these things. Just knowing about them and not doing any of them will do nothing for you. And we have the choice, don't we, of putting them into practice or not. In these acts of service, we also want to see how Jesus himself did and does these things for us. And so this series really is about life in the body, in community, in relationship with one another. You know, the church is called many things in Scripture. It's called a church, and that word simply means called out ones. Calls out a people for himself, and we gather together. We are not to neglect the gathering of ourselves together for mutual edification, especially as we see the day of the Lord drawing nigh. That's from Hebrews. And so he calls us a church. He calls us a flock, a fold. And he describes the people of God as sheep, and him being our shepherd, and the relationship that we are to have that as well. He calls us the bride of Christ. That's a fantastic statement of the bride of Christ in relation. He is our husband. Christ is our husband, and the church is his bride, and he's calling people to be his bride in relation. And in fact, in Ephesians, it uses that comparison of husband and wife to describe the relationship of Christ and his bride, or Christ and the church. And but I think one of the best illustrations he gives, or names he gives, is that of a body. We've all got one of those, right? Some different size, some different intellect, some are tall, some are short. We all have a body, and when we get sick, it's when part of that body isn't working right. It might be a part that you never even thought about. You didn't even know existed, maybe, in your body. But if it stops working, then the rest of your body will know. And there is little things, you know, that do that. And sure, we can live without some parts of our body, but I don't like what the doctors do in just cutting them out. Oh, they're residual organs. You don't need them anymore because we've evolved beyond them, which I don't think is true. God put every part of our body in there for a reason. Sure, we can live without a gallbladder and some things, you know. They used to pull out the tonsils all the time, right? Until they discovered, oh, that's part of your immune system. We better leave those in. You know, and they still do, but the body, it's made up of hands and feet and eyes and hair somewhat and a tongue and taste. And my poor wife has lost her taste again for a month now. She's feeling fine, but she just lost her taste again. But she still makes meals for us. And so your body, imagine if you didn't have your legs to take you places. Some people don't. Imagine if you didn't have your eyes. Louise is struggling with eyes and seeing properly. And the body is made up of all of these things, and all of them are necessary. And in the body, he places people together in the body. And then he gifts you. You know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have a gift that you can use in the edification, in the building up of the body. Oh, it might not be an upfront gift of teaching or preaching, but it might be behind the scenes of serving. It might be a gift of discernment or a gift of encouragement or all these different types of gifts that are listed and are to be used, but were placed into the body, into the local church, given gifts to use in the local church for the edifying of the body, the increasing of the body, that it would grow. So it's important for the life and growth of the body that each of us use the grace given to us to encourage each other. It's not just to be the pastor doing his thing and everybody on the sidelines cheering. That would be like, it's hockey, almost playoffs, you know, and that'd be like, hey, coach, you get out there, and we're going to cheer you on as you play. And all the players just sit on the bench. Well, that's not the way it works, right? The pastor is the one that cheers you on and does his part. But everyone involved and everyone gifted and everyone members one of another. And God sets us as members in the body as it pleases him. And so it's in the context of this body that we take the one another's and put them into practice. How are we to live together? How are we to get along together? How are we to treat one another? This is how the body grows. Know your gifts, use your gifts. Everyone is important. Everyone. Even the smallest, even the youngest, even the children. Very important. So this life in the body involves being connected to members one of another. We're not to wear bubble wrap to insulate ourselves from people. We're to allow people into our spaces, and then we're to practice these one another. So 25 of them that I've discovered so far, but I want to start with just one of them this morning and talk about one of them. There can be no better place to start than talking about love one another. Love one another. I think if you get that one right, you get them all right. If you get that one right, you get them all. Love is the end of the commandment, Paul said to Timothy. It's the end. It's the goal of the commandment. Love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and unfeigned faith. Love is the greatest commandment, Jesus said. And so I want to read to you, first of all, some just verses that are related to love, and you can follow along with me, but I want to read them to you and then just make some comments and some observations from these passages. First of all, in John chapter 13, and these are all familiar passages, and by the way, I do realize that this is going to be nothing new. You know, a lot of times the job of a pastor is just to remind you of things that you already knew or you already know, or maybe you've forgotten, or you just to encourage you in walking in these things. So in John chapter 13, Jesus had just had the Last Supper with his disciples. He had washed their feet. And then in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." In chapter 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And then in verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." In Romans chapter 12, Paul, in writing to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 10, he said, "Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." And then the next chapter, chapter 13, "Owe no man," verse 8, "owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law." And then partway through verse 9, he says, "Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, he says this, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter writing to these people and tells them this, "And I'm saying these things to remind each of us about this concept of loving each other. See, verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And then finally, in 1 John, there are many, many different passages in 1 John, but just a couple of them. Chapter 3, verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 23, "This is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And then chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, that God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." I know there's a lot of verses on love one another, but here are some observations from these. First of all, from Romans chapter 13, love is what we owe people. We're not to owe people anything, but to love one another. And in so doing, love fulfills the law. It fulfills the law. The sum of the law was that we were to be loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love one another. This sums up all of the law and the prophets, Jesus said. This is our greatest duty. It fulfills the law. Now, we could never fulfill the law ourselves because we don't love perfectly, but Jesus did. In his life is very important, how he lived. He lived a sinless life. He lived a life that was perfect before his Father. He loved righteousness and he hated iniquity, Hebrews 2 tells us. God saw his life and was pleased with his life. And then he went to Calvary and gave his life on the cross in demonstration of his love for us. And throughout his life, you would see him seeing people, and he looked on them over and over and over with what? With a heart of compassion, a heart of love. You see how love changes your life? We owe people love. Well, that person doesn't deserve my love. Yeah, just as we don't deserve God's love. But we are to give it to them. Well, what about those people that are hard to love? No elbowing your neighbor. What about those people that are difficult? We to love them? We're going to see shortly just how did God love us when we were unlovely. And then we're to imitate that. So love is the fulfilling of the law. Remember what it says in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh." So love works through serving one another. But all of the law is fulfilled in this, loving your neighbor as yourself. To fulfill means it was used in different ways in the scripture, used of filling a net with fish. It was used of a room that was filled with perfume. You know, some people just have a habit of just drenching themselves, as Anne of Green Gables would say. I can't believe I'm quoting her in a message. My girls would be proud. They'd drag their dad into watching some of them films. So I sometimes quote them. But who's drenched with scent? You know, but you walk into a room. That's what our life is supposed to be like. We're drenched with the love of God, and we walk into a room, and we just bless people with this love. We're going to see later on how to do that, but that's what our life is to be like, a sweet fragrance to God. Do you know when Jesus was offering himself up to his Father, it was a sweet fragrance to his Father. As his Father was crushing him, and placing the wrath of God on him and our sins upon him, it was a sweet fragrance to his Father. Our prayers are a sweet fragrance to God. So having a life that is filled with love. It says in Romans 8, 4, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The third thing I see, not only we're to owe people love, and loving fulfills the law, it says in 1 Peter, or in 1 Thessalonians, you are taught of God to love one another. Paul says to the Thessalonians, I really don't even need to teach you this because God himself has taught you how to love each other. And I was thinking, well, how does God teach us? Jesus said, and we looked at this morning in Sunday school, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Learning from God. You might say, I don't know how to love like this. That's okay. It's okay to be in kindergarten and to learn things. And some of us are in kindergarten in certain aspects of the Christian life. And that's okay. You have to start somewhere. And some of us aren't even in kindergarten. Some of us are still being fed by mom. That is, we're still just infants in our walk with him. That's okay. Grow. Learn. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to change you. And so God is more than willing to teach us about how he loved. And the passage I had read this morning in Romans chapter 5, look at that with me, and you will see how does God love us? How did he demonstrate his love towards us? Well, it says in Romans chapter 5, for when, verse 6, we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I notice something here. And it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in this awful condition before holy God, Christ loved us. Think of that. He didn't wait until we got our lives cleaned up to love us. So if we're going to learn how to love like God loves, we learn, first of all, you don't wait until people get their lives cleaned up to love them. Now, you might help them change. That's okay. But God found us in a terrible condition, if he found us at all. We were sinners before holy God. Rebels as a human race before Almighty God. He didn't love people that were good looking or had their act together, that were righteous. Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. And I like that because we all fit into that. I've not come to heal those that don't need a physician. I come to those that are sick and need a physician. And I like that. Sinners. And then he'll say later on, for if when we were enemies, not only sinful and unrighteous, not good, against God, but enemies. Enemies. His enemies. This is who he died for. Outside of the covenant. Dead in our trespasses and sins. So I noticed certain things here. We don't wait for someone. We love them as they are. He loved us first, and he initiated the love. He initiated it. He took the initiative. And then I notice his love was sacrificial. He gave his life. It met, I also notice, it met a need. Sacrificial love meets a need in someone else's life. It can be monetary, clothing, food, housing, money. Can be that. James brings that up and says, you really love God? If someone asks you for clothes and they're cold or food and are hungry, and you say to them, oh, be warm, be filled, and then you walk away. How does the love of God abide in you when we're like that? And we've all done that at different times. But so practically speaking, this love is going to meet a need in someone else's life. Practically speaking, we had an incredible need that we could not pay. But Jesus could, and Jesus did. You see, that's the example that is before us, taught of God. If you're going to be taught of God, look at his example. Look at how he did it. He also loved through serving. By love, serve one another. You humble yourself to serve. Jesus said, I have not come to be ministered unto, but I've come to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. His attitude in it was serving. You know, I've learned a lot from my wife over these almost 38 years because her gift that God has given her is serving. And she is in the top of the world in her glory when she can serve. I've learned so much because I'm not like that. I am self-serving. I am a serve me type of person. But I've learned that that's not how I'm supposed to be. And I've learned from her life of how to serve and enjoy serving. So you humble yourself to serve others. That's how Jesus loved. So taught of God. And then thirdly, first of all, love is what we owe people. Love fulfills the law. We're taught of God to love. And then fourthly, love is of God. In our reading in 1 John, I think it was chapter 3 or chapter 4, one of those two, we read this. Beloved, let's love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Have you ever had a person that you just couldn't love? You had no love in your heart for them whatsoever. Ever happen? Sometimes, right? How do you go from that to loving someone like that? Well, know first of all that love is not from you. The source of love is God Himself. That's the source. That's where you drink deeply at the feet of God, at the feet of Christ, and say, would you, by your Spirit, pour your love into my heart? That's what Romans 5 says. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by His Spirit. So walk with the Spirit. The source, the power of this living. When you are filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the fruit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is what? First one, love. Love. And so you go to the source, because I'm telling you, we run out of love real quick. We gas up our cars when they run out of gas. We have to have the idea that I need to be gassed up. I'm coming to the pump of God again to be filled up because I am out. And the car doesn't function without gas. And the Christian life doesn't function without being filled with the Spirit of God in our life. The source is God Himself. The source is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so you go. And then we are commanded to love. Over and over in John, we read that this is the commandment of God, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that you love one another. Believe on Christ and love one another. We are commanded. It's an imperative that Christ gives. Hey, Christian, you can choose to do this or you can just not choose. And that's true, you can. But it's given as an imperative, as a command for us to obey. We're not going to obey it perfectly. We understand that. But it's still given as an imperative. They're not the 10 suggestions in the Old Testament. They're the 10 commandments. And same here. The sum of all of the 10 commandments, the sum of all the law, is love God supremely. Set your affections on Him. And then love people in front of you. Just love them. The happiest people that you find in life are people that are loving others, that have their life right with God and are loving others. So we're commanded to love. And we are to love others, sixthly, as Christ has loved us. Notice that in John chapter 13, verse, I think it was 34, John 13, 34. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you. In the same way that I've loved you, you love one another. And then lastly, as we demonstrate this, they will know that you're my disciples. They know that you're loving in spectacular ways. And Jesus, if you read through the Sermon on the Mount, He talks about loving your enemies, going the second mile. When someone sues you, you give them your coat as well. When someone strikes you on the cheek, you turn the other. And some have said, yeah, well, I've allowed him to strike me on the cheek, and he struck me on the second one. I've run out of cheeks. Now I'm going to go after him. You know, that's not the idea there. It's the idea of loving someone that's unworthy. Now, that doesn't ever mean that we don't confront people, that we don't help them with things, that we don't bring the law into play. If we, you know, it's not being a doormat or anything like that. But it's the idea of they'll know that we're His disciples. They'll know that we're His learners, that we're His pupils, that we're His followers by the love we have one to another. See how powerful that is in the body of Christ as a group of people? loving each other so that people in the community can say, see how they love each other. It's remarkable. See how they take care of each other. See how they're invested in each other's life. And to be honest with you, I want to be in a church like that. I want to be a person like that. Am I? Not all the time. Not a lot of the time. But I want to be. And I think you want to be as well. Who doesn't want to be in a church like that? But it's full participation of each one doing their part. So I just encourage you today, those lessons to learn. It's what we owe people. The law is fulfilled by loving. We're taught of him to love each other. Love comes from him. He's the source. We're commanded to love. We're to love others as Christ loves us. And then by this, they'll know we're his disciples. So go from this place and sit at the feet of Christ and start putting this into practice in everyday living. All right. Let's stand and sing our final song.